Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
I just want to touch a few things. The land we are going to is not like the land of Egypt. I said that yesterday. Many of you did not understand. Where you have to till the ground and compel it to answer to you. Where we are going with the forces of heaven. We are not looking at the clouds. We are looking at the throne. It doesn't matter what they said. It doesn't matter what anyone says. Are you hearing me? When God commands Isaac to stay in a land, he will receive 100%. That is not the law of nature. That is the law of God's realm. If God gives you an instruction, stay in this land and sow. If you obey that word, instructions are key. Instructions are not for you to judge. They are for you to act on. They are not for you to have a fanciful and interesting jotter so that you can read when you are going on a retreat. If you don't have capacity to obey one simple instruction, your strength is very small. Because we have a generation that have itchy ears. They like to hear prophecies. They like to hear God every time they are praying in the morning. But they do nothing. Abraham was not hearing God every day. Sometimes between the chapter you read and the next chapter was 10 years. But see what he did with every instruction. He had the spirit of faith. Our generation must come to the knowledge of the spirit of faith. That spirit says if God says it, there may not be anything on the outside that validates that position. But because God said it, this year will not pass. You will not see rain, you will not see storm. But there's a massive harvest that is coming. God will not allow any man say, I made you rich. I made Abraham rich. So God will bring the forces of heaven. How can 300 men take out an entire army of 5 kings? Excuse me. We try to rationalize God and that's why we get stuck. Do your bit. Then get out of the way and let God do his bit. Let God be God and let man be man. You are just a man. The glory belongs to him. Step out of the way. You can't keep rationalizing and thinking, okay, this is the way A, B, C. What if God does C, J, Z? Don't rationalize God. When you go for your board meetings, do all that talk. But when you come before him, hey, Baba. Don't limit God. There are so many things we do that sometimes God considers insult. He just looks at us. She will learn tomorrow. He said, you will not see rain. Hi. I'm in my prophetic elements. Say you will not see rain. Oh, you thought rain name for? He said you will not see it. I will break all the natural laws that support this growth, and you will still have your result. You thought God said that to a lazy man? No, Abraham was not a lazy guy. That's why God cannot enter into covenant with many of us. We are too laid back. And if you think being a pastor is easy, you come and try. Because you have full time. You wake up in the morning. Wow. Ah, today is... what's that thing? This thing we put inside bread. Toast bread. Toast bread. What toast bread? You say, ah, my son. Come back. There are movements in the heavens. Say, please, Lord, please. You start begging. Because you know that the last time he said that it was 7 days fasting. Say, sir, please, Lord. Please, Lord. I know they are thinking. Please, Lord. Say no more, my Lord. Because you know where it's going. If you are lucky, it will be 7 days. Then you want to be a pastor. Now, we need more. We need more people. You can't catch me with a pot belly. How? Why? When you are not drinking Gouda, where? Anybody can open their mouth and say rubbish, come and join us. In fact, we will need more young men like you. When a demon tells you, if you don't leave now, I'll slap you. Say, come out. You say, if you say that to a guy, I'll slap you. You're not like, ah, is it that you can't see the fire on me? This is not my message. This is a digression. A brother was ministering to a lady, and then he was casting the devil out. This was way back when I was young. The lady said, look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. Can you see the fire? Let me say no. Oh goodness. He wanted to validate his anointing. Hey, look at my eyes. Look at. What do you see? The girl was honest. She was scared to say the truth. Oh goodness. Try it. Try with those people who know that they will say something good. If you go and try those kind of girls, they'll just fall your hand. With on microphone, they'll fall your hand. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. Unveiling the new man. Unveiling the new man. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because what? They have no knowledge. The implication of the lack or absence of knowledge, what did he give them? Did the devil waste time in taking delivery of his victims? The devil didn't waste time. It only takes 5 steps for someone to know you don't know what you are doing. You can masquerade and make it look like you're on top of your game. Somebody who has been there for you, push you in front of a computer. Say, do you understand social program? Do you understand Finacu? Do you understand Flesh Cube, T24? And you're there, say, yeah, we'll be using my last verse. Okay, so let's just quickly run this. And you're like, why is the mouse not moving? Oh, goodness. While I was invited for an interview at Obafemi Awolowo University for a lecturing job, they wanted to impose a candidate on the department, and my HOD didn't like that. So the faculty board met, the departmental board met, and they said, look, give us a student that is very sharp. So my guardian called me and said, Gwenga, you still want to teach? I said, yeah. I said, this is your time. Oh yeah, sit down. I wrote the application. So he said, you come for interview tomorrow. While we were talking, the HOD came in. He saw me, I was seeing my bedroom slippers. It was when I got to Lagos, I heard that bedroom slippers actually means bedroom slippers. I thought slippers is the key word. Bedroom slippers means you can wear it around the house. For me. Because since I've wear, nobody ever asked me why am I wearing it. We are all wearing the same thing. Are you with me? So I wore bedroom slippers. I sat down, and doctor, she's a professor now. Omotosho, so the man came in and like, is this the guy? He said, you are in my class, brother. I say yes. Can you bring down the roof? I said, I will try, sir. So we got into I was the last person to come in out of about 18, 20 people. We had PhD holders, you know. So it was my turn. I had to go and collect my suit back. I brought one offer that wanted to get a job. It's like this kind of color, navy blue. I wore it, decked up. It was my turn. They looked at me. My case was decided that I have failed already. It was later I got to know. And because I was referred, all the people that referred me could not come into that panel. So I was seeing strange faces, gray-haired professors and all. But my mentor, my guardian in Ife, had a friend who was on that team. The theory that explains the of deviance, something on deviance, is as postulated by, it's called what? I said that one is old. That one is a theme for, I say there's a more recent one we relate to it. Is say, ah, you want to teach us? I say, no, I'm just explaining. It's okay, explain. I started to teach. I say, you only need 5 steps. Somebody who knows can tell you don't know. There are people I see, I know they are going to fail in what they do, but I can't tell them. Because it's better they learn that way. If I tell them, I'm not helping them. One of the grace God will give you as a pastor is to know something and not say it. Or as a prophet. See what knowledge did to people. It took an entire nation, put them in bondage. An entire nation. That because we don't know something as a nation in Nigeria, we are the way we are. You know, knowledge creates an atmosphere over a man. If you've ever traveled out before, you get to the States or Dubai, you just notice that your nature changes. You align. You follow the cue. Here, people carry your bag. But once you get there, no man's like, you know, there are laws here. You break it, you are arrested. So something in you tells you are lying. Because knowledge creates atmosphere over people. Knowledge not only empowers you, it creates an atmosphere around you. There are certain things that cannot break into your space in the spirit. Yes. If you know some things. Look at my sister that shared that. Imagine she didn't show up yesterday. Bible says your days are hidden from you. See, because you don't know the things that make for your peace. They prayed and fasted years that Jesus would come, and when he came, they didn't recognize him. Is it possible that the people asking for revival will not identify it when it comes? Knowledge. I say, and they are honorable men. The people that they consider that are princes among them. See, they are tired. They have what? Another word for famished is what? Is famished a result of hunger? When people are tired, no water, no food. In other words, it's not that they are not eating, but what they are feeding on is not, doesn't have the capacity to take them through that phase of life that they are in. So they are walking, but they are losing energy. And some of you know that you are practically gasping. It's time to step the game up. Just before a plane takes off, it consumes the highest number of fuel. When you see that thing on the runway, just going, the energy it needs to take off is more than the energy it needs to stay on the air. Stop making excuses with people who are not going anywhere. You have pampered them enough. It's time to start writing sack letters. Take your own. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. From today, friendless. I don't know if you are with me. I've not even entered the message because I'm going to the spirit realm. But look at this. I'm looking at using this scripture. You go to my share this scripture with me actually. So I'm just preaching his message. He said their multitude will do what? They are dried up with thirst. It's not possible. It's not possible for you to be fed if your head is hungry. In corporate terms, in my office, you can't get an A if your boss is getting a C. Oh, that staff is very good, he's wonderful, he always does his job, blah blah blah. People rate you so high in your appraisal, but if your the appraisal of your zonal head or regional head about your unit is that he gives your boss a C, nobody can get above a C in that thing. Because if you are making an A and A, how come your boss is a C? Because your input is his output. I don't know if you are with me. You can't be a C and you are confessing A. Excuse me, you need to step the knowledge game up. Oh, you thought that... I don't want to say something, you look like pride. Because me, I'm just doing my life, JJ. Because one man refused to take leadership and embrace the spirit of knowledge, he put an entire nation into bondage, crippled their princes. These honorable men know what to do, but the resources are taken out of them because in their season of plenty they didn't do anything with it. So now they are hungry. If you don't have a Joseph in your time, what do you do? The nation of Egypt would have been wiped off. Do you see that when God does some of the things he does, when God is angry at some people and some nations, you are looking at the anger as an isolated case. You are not looking at what preceded the anger. It was Joseph, God's servant, that God used to preserve that nation. All of a sudden, a Pharaoh came up that didn't know the people and then began to wage war against God's people. And then God said, look at you people. Your king, your Pharaoh, was clueless. I sent a son of Israel to come and help you. Because you are not born in such a time, didn't you go to school, didn't you read history? You now took on warfare against my children. You forget that if not for Joseph, there will be no Egypt. I will sink every one of your firstborns. I will bury your king. I will bury you not on land but on sea. Fish will feed on you. There will be no trace of your bones. That is how resolute God can be. Many times when God begins to wage war against certain people, you don't understand. You are looking at the case. You are not looking at how they got there. How does God react when he begins to favor somebody that seems like he's not even working with God? Certain people in that man's generation, in that man's family, did certain things. And God said, look, I will not take away the kingdom from you. I will leave you. You will still be king, even though you have 1,000 wives. I will leave you. Enjoy. Die. Say, but in your son's time, somebody must pay. Now you will say, you will think, God was partial. No. God has seen the useless boy. That this one will make it easy for him to judge him. Because his life doesn't mirror the father. His father. He didn't learn wisdom. Let me tell you, Solomon was not just the way he was because he was king. He stayed close to David. If you are expecting somebody to come and be looking for you, let me mentor you. Let me teach you. Let me teach you how to do this business. By the time I will be ready, it will have been too late for you. If there is something you seek in a man, pursue it. Say, knowledge in a man is as a deep well. Say, it is a man of understanding. Man who knows that there is something in this man, in this woman that I need. We pursue that man. And how do you fetch it out? By questions. Sir, I saw you when you were doing this yesterday. I wanted to ask, sir, how does that really work? So the moment you streamline your questions, you help the mentor to be specific. It's easier for him to be specific and address the issue based on specific questions. I thought you are my friend, Lord. I thought you are my mentor. I actually thought when I came to this church that okay, wake up. That was possible last year, not this year. Next year, it will not even be possible again. It doesn't matter how anointed I am. I can't do the work alone. That's why we have leaders. I'm trying to unveil a part or a type of a man to you. So we are looking at this much more. If I just come to you spirit realm, you will get the revelation, you will not understand. Go back and meditate on these scriptures. There was one other scripture he gave me in Joshua. 17. Verse, is it 11? 17:14. Joshua 17:14. Quickly. This is just a ghost message. Copyrighted. Amen. So, and the children of Joseph spoke unto Joshua, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing that I am a great people, for as much as the Lord has blessed me hitherto? 15. And Joshua answered them, if you are a great people, then get thee up to the wood, to the country, and cut down for yourselves. It's time to prove it. You cut down for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and of giants. Great people are not great in isolation. You will take down giants. You will be able to show your scars to people. You are not great inside the church board or in the church room or in the meeting. You are great because you know what it means to fail and to stand again. He said, you cut down, go and face giants. If you are telling me that you know you are great, it's time to present to you giant number one, Perizzite. Land of the giants and of the giants. Oh, goodness. and of the giants. If Mount Ephraim is too narrow for you, that if you attempt that where we are now, it's not okay for you. Elopeju, association, Pakistan, the people at the back here, Indianos, all of them, they are telling me, Oluwagbenga, you stand before the Almighty God and you say, Father, this place is too small for me. Say, I will not increase you like that. I will send you giants. You want to grow, I will send you giants. Think about it before you ask for it. If you tell me it is now time for you to move to the next phase, I will not give you a next phase, I will give you giants. So you ready? This is God's apostolic principle for growth. Because when you kill your giants, you drag their heads. They are just posing. Anybody seeing the head you are dangling knows that David, Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. So the equivalent of one head of Goliath is 10,000 men. One head. So David with one swing decimated 10,000 men. Sir, there has to be a change of kings. Heaven will now ordain it. Not because there was an oil that separated you in the secret place, but because in the public place, you have taken your giants and you pull their head off. That is why the devil always speaks to you in the language of fear. He tells you you have a small stature. He tells you this guy has been a soldier all his life. Well, guys, see, we are not talking revelation here. These are real demons here. David, I know you love God, but this one is, it's a different. It's a different type of warfare. They tell you all of those things that your mind can associate, can identify with. Because they don't want you to be the value of 10,000 men. So if you are telling me that you are ready, say, give me that scripture. If you are telling me, say, I'm going to send you now. You are the one who came. I was doing my thing. You came and said, this place is small. No problem. Behold the land before you, my servants. Take the Perizzites. Go up and cut wood. Go. You prove yourself as men. Go ahead. 15. And Joshua answered them, that's a question mark. If thou be a great people, then get thee up the wood. Go to 16. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. I heard that one already. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. See the kind of challenges they are having. But they who are of Bethshean and our towns, and they who have the valley of Jezreel. That's a good name for a consulting. Jezreel consulting. Amen. Okay. And Joshua spoke unto the house of Joseph, even unto Ephraim and of Manasseh, and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, and thou hast great power. You see, that God brings a challenge to you doesn't mean God doesn't know your potential. Initially, he challenged them. Then secondly, he began telling, hey, I know you guys have what it takes. I know you don't have a car. I know you have 2,500 in your pocket. But I can see the greatness on your inside. Because I put it there. Hallelujah. I put it there. I know. But I need to get you to that point where you look at your enemy toe to toe in the eye. You are convinced. This one is bread for us. This one is bread. You push me down. I'm coming back. I have capacity to stand 7 times. I know, just because you won the first round, we still have 6 rounds to go, brother. The principle states that if I can keep my feet for 7 times, you are coming down. Amen. So he says, look, say you are a great people, and thou shalt not have one lot only. It was the same man of God who said you have one lot. He now reversed his word and said, I know you are great. In you, you have space for more than one. Give me the next verse. Because this mountain shall be thine. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Name that mountain. And tell yourself, even this one shall be as one of these. Because every time God wants to bring you to a mountain, he wants to bring you to a new place of influence, you will be required to remember the days he walked with you when no man saw you. You will be like David. You will remember the day you slew beasts. You slew lions. You had to deal with certain things that you couldn't share with people. And you had to, many times you wept, and you still, God told you, sorry, you are clean your face, fight again. And you had to do some of that stuff. Many times people saw you in church and you would weep and cry. People thought it was the glory of God. They didn't know it was because you are pressed on every side. So David didn't keep quiet when he had to face Goliath. If he had kept quiet and said, "Are you finished talking?" he would have come down. But what he did was, as Goliath was talking, he was also talking. He began to remind us, say, "Look, before I got here, we killed bears. We killed ravenous animals. We killed dangerous things." He said, This one shall be as one of these. I don't know what project you are going through that is looking like it's beginning to threaten you. I don't know if they said to you that, "Oh, you want to start this business? There are a lot of people already in it." That's what I said to the Lord. "Oh, everybody's pastoring. Allow me to stay in my church and put in my bit. Oh, that catering business, everybody's doing it. Oh, that consulting firm, everybody's doing it. Oh, this solar business, everybody's doing it. Oh, this educational consulting, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it until you show up. Because you are different. Because this idea didn't start with you, it started with God. Some people were trying to look for a way of escape, trying to get a good career, trying not to beg. For you, this is an assignment. There's a difference between doing something because you need to put food on your table or when you are on a divine agenda. We have to raise pastors in the schools. We have to raise apostles in the business circles. We must raise people who, like Daniel, can stand in both prophetic office and in the role of a prime minister. People who know how to switch between spirit and material realm. Are you listening to me? So I'm not saying, okay, well, the thing we are used to, we come to church and I say, "Let's be in the spirit now, everyone now close his eyes." I'm saying that in these days that I speak of, you will be able to oscillate because God has brought you into the point where he can trust you and where he knows he has your heart. Because your journey to where you are standing now is not behind God. Everything you did, all your pain, all your tears, and nothing can be more frustrating than when you have a family and you are looking at them and you know you can't solve their problem. You have a sick child, you don't have money in your pocket, there's no food, you can't even feed decently. You will learn the power of prayer then. Hallelujah. The new man is a man that thinks differently. He has a victory mindset. He has a victory mindset. He has a victory mindset. There is a setback. Doesn't mean you are set up here. You just have a minor setback. We know where we are going. We have seen the mountain. We have seen the top of the mountain. We have seen the top of the mountain. And we are going there.
Yes, we are. Yes, 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 Lord.
Anything your heart can capture, no man can take it from you. Say, "Mary has chosen the right path. It shall not be taken from her." Don't let your country's economy limit you. There's no recession in God's kingdom. They don't spend money in heaven. So if God has, he can give everything to you, it doesn't bother him. They don't spend it in heaven. In the days where God begins to unveil the man that is hidden, the Bible calls him the hidden man of the heart. Give me that scripture. Let's look at that. The hidden man of the heart. I'm saying this because I'm sharing these things with you because many times we have read the scripture, we've read the New Testament, and we see the spiritual version of this man. And many times there seems to be a conflict between what we see of that man in scriptures and our development in the spirit. I don't know if you're with me. Sometimes they seem to be like, maybe God just wants us to believe this thing and not push it beyond that one. Because the things we see when we study about this new man, they are too incredible to believe. The hidden man of the heart. 1 Peter 2, 3, let's start from verse 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Say you are done in, oh goodness, please go back. Verse 1. I like this one. This was our major scriptures when you used to be in the deeper life. I like this one. And some of you should take some time out. I'll release you. Attend deeper life. Amen. I'm not joking now. Hey. I will send you on sabbatical. You just do like 2 Sundays, then do 2 Sundays in MFM. Amen. Yeah. Get some fire in your bones. Amen. I remember I was in a vision just before church started. I was in a vision And I saw myself, I won't tell you where, but so I was ministering to people who were in bondage and who were possessed. Ego come. So as I ministered, now this is where they are. So I stood there and I was ministering to them. And all of a sudden, Dr. Dickie Oluka came out. Placed his hand over my shoulder and amplified that power. He said, do it again now. And I stretched my hand. I felt the surge. Certain graces can be transferred by impartation or by impactation or by implantation. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjections to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. Verse 2. While they behold your chaste manner of living with fear. Verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not. Oh, now God is bringing an emphasis here. Many times to describe something, you have to describe what is not. Say, to understand the new man, look at this. Let your adornment not be of the outward adorning of plaiting of hair. Amen. All of you are plaiting your hair. This verse is for you. That's what we're taught. Amen. And of wearing of gold. I'm in the gold business. If you are wearing gold now, you know it, I don't want all those things. So it's for you. This scripture is for women, not for men. Amen. I said the scripture is for women. What's your own? Did you see men? Did you see men there? Did you see? Should I go and I will start it again? No. Did you see? It is the commandment is for them, it's not for us. Man, praise the Lord. It's for them. One brother in our fish there used to see, preach all this kind of message. He asked all the ladies saw vision for the people wearing those bling bling bling. And that's why I say, bro, I can relate to the fact that you know they wear your ring, you know they do this thing. But why are you seeing vision for Stadupe? See, Stadupe, say, I believe she can change. I said, we don't want her to change. Leave her for us. That believe in these things. I will give you Sister Murenike. When you see her, I'm standing alone. She's like you. Sister Murenike, that will say, well, see, you are going to be a man of God in the future. See, and your member will call you daddy. I say, hey! Say daddy. Say daddy. I say even you know you will be a GO. Say even your wife, she has to be calling you daddy in front of the. I said, Brasil, this is the kind of woman you should marry. Call me Revo. That's funky. Or call me Guze, Ben Guze. I beg, I'm not an old man. You keep that daddy thing. You know, daddy's in your village. You keep it to him. Amen. When I get there, I will tell you. When you see gray hair, we will have this meeting again. But for now, please, I'm just starting my life. Say, do let it not be of wearing of gold or putting on of for the use of God costly apparel. Go ahead. Say, but let your adornment be what? Of the hidden man. That means there's an adornment of the spirit. Say, there's an adornment. Let it be of the hidden man of that. In that which is not corruptible. I don't have time for this today. What is this adornment? Meekness and a quiet spirit. The Bible says, in quietness and in confidence shall your strength be. Moses was the meekest man on earth. Look at the level of dominion he was walking into. So God was telling you, telling us something very important. If you want to be someone that no mountain can stand before, that's your answer. A quiet and a meek spirit. Because when you are quiet, you open up your spirit for God to communicate more with you. I know you want to massacre talent, but yeah, bro. But sometimes you need to learn how to shut up. It is wisdom for you to know which time we are in. Sometimes you come into God's presence. Don't be in a hurry. Sometimes just feel like God just wants you to be quiet before. It's part of the prayer time. Just kneel before him and just meditate on his might. Every time you align with God, what God is doing is bringing that man that is hidden. Do you see the word hidden? Do you see the word hidden? That man can be there with all the potential and the power, yet is oblivious to anybody. Nobody sees him, and all that capacity and potential locked up. Knowledge. The time is up. Page 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. If I can't finish this, we'll continue next week. We have the whole time on earth to do this, so it's not time. I'm not doing any long thing again. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus there is no what? Circumcision. If circumcision availeth nothing, nor circumcision. Now, this thing looks like a powerful revelation now. But when Paul was writing it, you could die for this. Hello? Did you hear me? I say, when now is we are reading it now. Because all the people that wanted to kill you are dead. If you had preached this on a Sunday morning in Israel, Peter said, oh, I have a word from the Lord this morning. Circumcision does not avail anything. Hallelujah. Oh, circumcision avails. What was that guy saying? See the person we are still trying to convert. He now came to church. The title of the message is Circumcision Availed Nothing. You will not share the grace in that. You see, you don't know this is a big deal. Because the issue of circumcision was a subject of covenant. God gave it to Abraham. Are you with me? So you can't just come and say you have one revelation. Who are you? Are you greater than our father Abraham? Many times, the revelation of yesterday can be the hindrance for today's progression. You have to be careful. Again, I repeat, the revelations of yesterday can become the hindrance for tomorrow's progression. God said to Abraham, take your holy son, go into the mountain and kill him. If Abraham heard that one and didn't hear, hold your hand. God is not contradicting. It was just a lesson. They were in class. Are you hearing me? Don't be more righteous than God in this work. Be humble enough to say you missed it. You want to last. Meek and quiet spirit. When you embrace meekness, God will pour loads of power into you because he knows you can contain it. When people provoke you, you are not, thy house perish with thee. You begin to evoke all the covenants of Job, all the curses of the book of Job on them. See, there's one chapter in Job. It's just one night with the book of Job that I will do with you. Everything in your life. They've never, when we were growing up, we used to hear those kind of things. You will put key inside the book. I used to like, you know, they didn't even know more. Like, they said they use key. I don't know where they are putting the key. Maybe in the midst of one chapter. It's just everything. Say, whoa, just one night. You are gone. They now remove key. Say, they now look at you again. You will say, actually, you know, we can settle, you know, this thing is not hard. In my mind, I'm like, that always works. They don't remove key. Open one place in Job. Say, my brother, just one night with the book of Job for you. It's over. You are gone. Even though it never affected him, but I used to be very afraid that there's something in Job that he can use to destroy people's life. And once they start talking about that, everybody just behave. It was like magic. So Paul was saying here, he said, circumcision does not avail anything. In other words, before God, that you are circumcised, or whether you are not circumcised, does not bring forth the righteousness of God. Every time you have to lay hold on God based on something you did or didn't do, you are claiming the laws that back up circumcision. And God says, no way. No way. It won't fly. There is something, however, that God is looking for. The new creature Okay, just do 5 more minutes. This is the first line of my message, so I'll just stop here. So God was looking for something. He wasn't looking for people to be validated by circumcision, where you can say, we have the mark, or we don't believe in it. Those of you say you believe by faith. Faith people. See, God is always looking for a new creature. Then I began to ask, what is the new creature? I call it man. But even that word seems to be a bit limited. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 say we used to know all men after the flesh. See, we even used to know Jesus after the flesh. Say, but now we know no man after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is not even man anymore, but a new creature. It seemed as though it is something a bit complicated to describe, because the only way you can even understand this type of creature is to put him side by side with God. We can use the word man, but somehow even that is limited. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. This man has no past. For all of you trying to be free from household curses, this new creature has no past. It wasn't in that family when they caused it. All you have to do is believe this scripture. All you have to do, believe the scripture. A man came to Jesus, said, Master, I want to be healed. Jesus asked him a question. Do you believe I am able to do this? Say yes. Be free. No drama. Be free. Say, if any man be in Christ, his identity is lost in God and is described as a new creature. In fact, Revelation tells us that God gives you a new name. Say, all things have passed away. Behold. To behold means to see and to lay hold. Everything you see, you can become. Everything you see in this realm, you can become. Behold. You become Christ. Behold. All things have become new. Who can lay a charge on God's elect? This new creature is the man that is clothed in the wisdom of God. Is the man that is clothed in the knowledge of God, in the might of God, the man who knows how to assess God. When Paul began to teach us in Romans chapter 8, he said the old world groans. They are in groanings. And they are expecting the manifestation of the sons of God. He was talking about the new creature. The man clothed in the grace of God. The perfect example of the new creature was Jesus after he resurrected. No limitations, no hindrances, perfected in glory. We are sons of glory. Hallelujah. We are sons of glory. Stop engaging your warfare like it's do or die. Say, for we know that in all things we are more than conquerors. It is not a cliche. It is who we are. So you engage from this point of, we already know the results. The elections were already rigged in your favor. It changes your posture in warfare. You are not trying to win. That's why it's sapping your energy. Even when I fast, I'm not trying to change this course. We know this course. When I fast, it is so that I can come into alignment. We know that all things work together for the good of those of us who are established in the love of God and who are called according to his purpose. All things will not work together for you, good for you, if you are born again. You need to look at that scripture properly. Give me that scripture in Romans chapter 8 and we'll close. Romans chapter 8, all things, for we know, verse 27. Verse 27. The preceding verse. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, for we do not know what we need to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Go ahead. And he that searcheth the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, it says the spirit of mind is the candle of the Lord. Every time God wants to bring revelation, he will put a fire on your spirit. He will put a fire on the candle. He will lit the candle. Your spirit is symbolized as a candle. So every time you find that you're having to search for answers on the outside, you know you're already going off course. Because every time God needs to get answers, he looks at the inward part. Say the spirit of man, that hidden man, that new creature, is the candle of the Lord. Every time God needs to bring answers, he will light a fire on your spirit. That's why many times you knew what to do. Not that you heard a voice, but you had a knowing. Because there was a searching going on in your spirit. You knew that you needed to get married. You knew that you needed to start that business. You knew that you needed to go ahead with this conference. Not because you had some money kept somewhere for it, but because the spirit of God needed to get you to a point, so he put a fire on your spirit. And so it just looked like, I sense we should go ahead with this thing. There is nothing on the external. Every time there is something on the external to validate what you think God said, it's not God. Every time there is something that supports what you say God said on the outside, it's not God. For God will not share his glory with man. Because he makes intercession, how did we come to the place of knowing the will of God? It was in the place of prayers. Say, he that searches the mind of the spirit, he that searches the heart, the spirit, the candle, knows what the mind of the spirit is. Why? Because he makes intercession according to the will of God. Go ahead. And we know this is a knowledge that is beyond feelings. Somehow I can't give you proof, but I know. Somehow I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know that all things will work together for my good. You see, there is a knowledge that comes to us as a body. The word there is we. There is a revelation of God that comes to me. There's a revelation of God that comes to you. There's a revelation of God that comes to you. But when we bring all these revelations together, we know. God will never put the agenda of heaven upon one man alone. God will split it and give us different dimensions. So before you open your mouth and you say, hey, that's not good, you better keep quiet and study. There might be a side that is being revealed. Because this man came, he saw the face of an ox. This man came, he saw the face of an eagle. This man came, he saw the face of a man. This one came, And all representing four characters of God. The eagle symbolized the prophetic anointing. That spirit that has the ability to go into the air and see far. It looks at a storm, it charges towards it. That is the character of God that cannot be surprised. He sees everything from every angle. You come into the dimension of the ox, and he sees the might and the power of God's industry. God comes like a ox. A ox was what was used to clear the ground when they were going to go into farm. The ox is the picture of might and industry. You begin to understand the business dimensions of God. The ox comes into this land. Everywhere is filled with grass and trees. By the time the day is over, everywhere is cleared. That is the dimension of the wisdom of God as it relates to getting things done and in business. You understand that God didn't just get us together to attend church. He needed the people to arise in the earth and take the nations. So if you are not thinking nations, you are not even supposed to be here. If you are thinking you only just have another good life and then be the MD of your company, get some good money, marry the next Miss World, and have some good children, have three dogs, buy a house in Miami, Florida, and then maybe die a good death and go to a good hell. I mean, if that is your own vision of life, I greet you, but you shouldn't be here. Because you can get all of those things without Christ. Say, we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. I said it is not just because you gave your life to Christ that all things work together. There are requirements. You must be established in the love of God. You must be established, and maybe we need to come back and look at this issue of the love of God. Because now it's not that love you touch, it's me and you, we love each other. No, there's a difference. Because this love will bring you to the place of tears. It will bring you to the place of consecration. It will bring you to the place where you have to say no to certain things. It will bring you to the place of standing for God and not compromising. He said, if you are established in the love of God, and you understand the fact that you have been born for such a time as this, and you are called according to His purpose, say, all things will work together for you. Whether good or bad, God will align them and bend them towards you. But if you quote this scripture all the time, it will not work all the time. The requirement here is you must understand your purpose in life. Why God even brought you here in the first place. Then you must be established in that purpose by the love of God. And to be established in love of God, you must be a seeker of God by the word of God. When you get to that point, you start a journey. God is compelled because of His investments in your heart by the word of God to stand for you every time. God is compelled by His investments in your life and in your heart to show up for you every time. I repeat, I said by the investments of heaven over your life, God is now compelled to show up for you every time by the investments of heaven over your life as you become a God seeker, seeking to know Him more. Not assuming that because you had an experience nobody has had before, then you are okay. No, you are seeking more. Your coming to church is now defined. It's not just we wake up and Christians go to church. No, it's now defined for you. You know why you do what you do. You know why you go to work on Monday. You know why you come to church by 7 a.m. on Sunday. For you, it's not something we are negotiating. These things are defined. God says, if you follow these two principles, I will cause all things to work together for your good. This is God's promise to us. Let's bow our heads. Shable Safediat Sarah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost if you can. Internalize these words. Palasumbreketele Safara Deshka. Mambro Deskele de Sepala Natobre Desa.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Body Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestworld.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.